Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Two Dykes and a Mic. I'm Mackenzie Goodwin.
And I'm Rachel Scanlon. Why don't you zoom in close and stay a while? It's time for a story from your two gaunties.
I know for a fact you have no stories to tell. But lucky for you, honey.
Oh, really,
I came prep today.
Oh, really, hunty? Because guess what I do? You know you and I were gabbing in the car so fucking hard on the way here that you literally almost fell out of your seat.
Okay, I got in the car and you and I hadn't seen each other for 2 days.
Which is bad for us.
Which is bad for us. And I literally got overwhelmed at how many things you and I have to talk about.
My friend here, sorry, my boyfriend.
My literal husband.
Sorry, you're my husband. I'm your stay-at-home
husband.
Dyke.
Yeah.
You were spinning out of control. There was almost steam coming out of your wig. I was like, hey, buddy, I'm right here. And you were like, I have so many things I want to tell you. I don't know. Because you go 2 days without seeing Kenny, you think, oh, Mackenzie, she's so independent and has boundaries.
I do.
And then you become her BFF and you're like, get this suction cup off my ass.
I do feel like some kind of water creature who has attached myself to you.
You're describing a barnacle, babe. That's a Barney. New nickname alert.
Barney. You know, that's my grandpa's name.
That's so cool. That's hot. Cute.
Are you calling my grandpa hot?
Yeah. I had a Eugene, which I'm like.
I love a Eugene.
I love a Eugene. Mm-hmm. I mean, the men of that era, like Stanley, yeah. Any type of Dick, Charles.
I do hope that those names come back around. Because I think Stanley, Eugene, Barney.
Yeah.
Strong male names.
Yeah, for sure. You know. If I may, mm-hmm. Do you remember when everyone had a baby and they named their baby the old grandma's names?
Yeah,
Pearl, they'd be like, it's Stella,
Olive. Yeah,
Evelyn,
mm-hmm. Love. If I'm being honest,
I mean they're all winners. Yeah, they're all winners. I'm ready for that
to come back.
But when remember everyone's doing like gender neutral names, mm-hmm. Let's have then classically male names be for, I think, baby girls. This is my daughter Walter. My daughter Walter.
Okay. Hot.
Yeah. This is my girlfriend. Her name is Dick.
I'm going to be honest. I absolutely fucking love it.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No, I know.
This is my little boy.
And this is my son, Ursula.
Yeah. Rocks. This is my little boy, Dorothy.
Rocks. That's sick. This is my son, Dorothy.
Yeah.
You can call him Daddy. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I'm sorry.
My son's name is Barbara. I'm fucking here for it.
Kenny, I laughed so hard I almost popped my tampon out.
Don't do that. But my son Barbara. Dude, first off,
I'm fucking shitting over here.
We have to write a feature film called My Son Barbara. Yeah.
This is my son, Deb. You can call him Debbie.
Yeah, I'm obsessed. Deborah. Deborah for a boy.
Ooh.
Rocks.
Ooh. This is my son, Betty. Also, first of all, gender's over.
Gender's over, but that being said,
it's giving mop.
It's giving mop.
Okay.
I want very gendered names.
Yes.
You're right. Yeah. Walter for a girl.
Walter for a girl is so rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That is rock and roll.
Yeah, it sure is. Mm-hmm. How fun.
I'm here for it.
How much fun are we already having?
You and I are, popping T's out of V's.
I can't believe I said that at work.
And we also have such an amazing guest on today. I can't believe this is the intro to their episode.
Honestly,
I'm sorry. I would like to formally apologize.
This episode is so good.
It really
is. It's actually the fact that I'm remembering the episode that we shot and I'm like, wow, we're really popping T's out of V's to this episode.
Like to apologize to our guest who was honestly one of my favorite guests of all time.
Yeah, for real. I know.
We had Allison Stoner on and they are one wealth of knowledge.
Yeah.
And
inspiration, and funny, smart, kind, giving with their time, generous with their intelligence. Like, fucking rocked.
One of the best guests ever. So
I love queer people. I don't know if, like, I think that's, like, we're funny, jokey, dumb sluts, I would say.
Overall,
me. I'm a dumb slut. But I love queer people so much. And when we get to like do this with people that I feel like I'm just like soaking up a la Barney.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is such a fun thing that we get to do. And I'm so grateful.
I know. This was such a good day.
I've had the best time with you. I like don't even want it to end. Let's hook up in the car again.
On the way home?
Yeah.
If I have the energy.
I'll do all the work. You know I will. I always do anyways.
Everyone sit back.
You get lazy.
And relax. And enjoy our episode with Allison Stoner. This is part one, by the way.
Part one. Also, wait.
Oh, wait. Before we get into it, we did just drop our tour dates a couple weeks ago. Half of the dates are already sold out. So trust me, you're going to want to get tickets to this. This show is going to be so much fun. It is the Topping Your Best Friend Tour.
Hi.
We have some amazing cities that are on there. We have Chicago.
Minneapolis.
Los Angeles for Netflix is a joke fest. Austin, Texas. Where else are we going? Everywhere.
We're going to Florida.
Seattle. Portland. Yeah.
We're going to Virginia Beach.
Virginia Beach. We're going everywhere. So trust us, go to dudexandamike.com and get your tickets today.
Get your tickets, and I can't wait to see all the Dianes. Dianes have been doing this fun thing where, like, even if I'm doing a solo show, they'll see me like setting up my camera or something, and they'll fly straight up to me and they'll go, "It's me, Diane."
I'm obsessed with all of our Dianes, all of our sharks. I cannot wait to meet you in person. We will meet you at shows.
Yeah.
We have merch that we're going to be selling.
Cannot wait to sit cross-legged on a chair talking about Dianes.
You better believe that. And we go on tour in early April, so you know that we're going to have some shit to talk about.
Yeah.
Mid-April.
You guys, this episode is really good, and thanks for being here. And if you would like to see this awesome setup that we have, we're at the Spotify Studios.
Yeah, we're shooting right now, recording at Spotify Studios in Los Angeles. Shout out Spotify. We love Spotify.
/well-lit / somebody took a red eye last night.
/ free LaCroix.
/
lattes. We're just listing all the shit they have in the cafeteria.
It's giving wig. I've never recorded. When is the last time we recorded an episode with you wearing a bra and me wearing shoes?
Never.
It's been a while.
It's usually braless, pantyless. Yeah. I have my bad wig on. Today I put
you
the good one on.
Record pantyless. I'm literally calling HR.
Oh, and get him on the phone.
She does. And if you see me in public or at shows and you think to yourself, huh, Ray only wears that outfit, you're right.
It's just the one.
This is me.
Please, I'm going to try and actually, we have to get to this episode.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys sit back and relax and listen to our episode with Allison Stoner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
But I did put concealer on, so that should help.
Yeah, you look great.
No, thanks. You look very stunning. I saw you come in, and I was like, wow.
You saw me come in?
Yeah.
Oh, like, just like right here.
You popped your little head in, and I was like,
Holy okay. shit.
I'm like, do I need to start wearing makeup?
No. You don't want to start now. 99% of the time, I cannot be coerced into doing such a thing.
Yeah. Thank you for doing it for us.
Thank you for leaving the house on a rainy day for us.
Yeah. I didn't know who was going to be listening and tuning in, so I just wanted to make sure I bent the gender in just the right way.
I think you did it.
Thank you.
You really did.
Thanks. I'm going to sit in probably 12 different positions over the course of the episode.
I know. It's a big enough chair to be queerly sitting on it.
Which is, you got this. You this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously.
This one.
The one
Ray
talk.
Already said you were going to do.
Yeah, yeah.
This
and
is
then
good.
There's, and then there's the, mm-hmm. this, but it was raining, so now I have to ask how much of an... Ooh, see?
Yeah.
I almost cursed.
Yeah. Well, if we can you have curse, you bleep everything if you'd like.
We can tell our editor
right now.
That's not
going to change the children.
Right.
They're going to know.
They will know.
But
kids are so smart.
Damn, our teacher's fucking awesome.
They probably will use the F word.
Yeah.
I just realized that I said it. So I don't even know when I do it.
No, this is bad.
I'll help with the censorship because I've been living in a bubble since the age of eight.
I was going to say, like,
to get into this.
What a segue.
Because of the longest time.
Describe the cage. Do you see these bars?
That's exactly what it was like.
It's not decor.
Oh my god. Should we just get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Ladies and gentlethems, welcome to another episode of Two Dykes and a Mic. I'm Mackenzie Goodwin.
And I'm Rachel Scanlon.
And I'm Allison Stoner.
Yes.
Perfect.
Thank you for doing that.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And it's nice to see you here in such a queer space.
So queer that I'm nervous that I will be unfiltered and you will need to do a lot of edits.
Which we can absolutely do. Shout out Leah. We love you, Leah,
hey.
Our editor.
Who will bleep anything out, cut anything out. But we're so excited to have you here today.
I don't know what we're going to get into, but I'm ready.
Thank God.
Mostly. Yeah.
No, well, we want to start out with, if I may.
Please.
We want to talk about your queer journey.
Okay. Well, I should know that that was going to be.
That's going to be like a number one. And yeah. I know, yeah, you came from.
I mean, you kind of just
Are
mentioned.
Even allowed to say it?
Being in a cage
yeah.
since the age of eight.
Mm-hmm. Well, so how many people have gone through the faith journey deconstruction to queer pipeline?
I mean, everyone. And we were just talking about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of like growing up in that company.
Jesus?
Is very similar to like growing up deeply religious.
Yeah. Mm. I was in
Wouldn't
the.
You say?
Oh, the, that company meaning the mouth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Allegedly, I don't want to be sued.
I don't know if I would compare Mickey and Jesus. I haven't really.
They both
done...
have great branding.
They do.
And a lot of merchandise.
Actually.
And great music.
Not so great branding recently because did you see the Vatican was hosting some sort of something and they personified Jesus as this, you know, really whitewashed, effeminate, near, God bless America. K-I-N-K-Y figure who's like, you know. Just hardly clothed.
Whoa.
And now people are split between whether they like it or don't like it.
That's so fascinating. I like whenever people decide to depict a like a, how they see their Jesus, but it's always been very like slutty in my opinion. Jesus has always been up there giving slut.
Yeah.
Like topless,
well,
kind of like
a loincloth.
It's a loincloth. It's a very dykey as well. The Birkenstocks, the diva curl.
Yeah,
weird relationship with your dad. Carpentry.
See?
For who? Your girlfriend?
Exactly.
That's a lesbian.
Yeah,
you heard it here first.
Jesus
is a lesbian.
Yeah, big
yeah.
time.
I think, it, and I think that's what you were
be
saying.
A great episode. I'm red. Let it be known, I didn't say that, but I did give them the script. Thank
yeah,
you
yeah.
for reading.
Thank you
my thoughts.
No, you no, don't yeah. co-sign any of this.
Oof.
That's fine.
I mean, so. Yeah, there are different kinds of cages and imprisonment.
Mm-hmm.
And working with the mouse, you know, you're talking about contracts. And to be fair, Mickey has to maintain his reputation.
Yeah.
He has a lot riding on him mm-hmm. being the happiest mouse on earth.
Yeah.
And so even though as a child we're going to go through, let's say, puberty, we will have to maintain a certain kind of youthful innocence. Mm-hmm. Otherwise... it's, I don't know, leading children astray.
Yeah.
God forbid we have any kind of sexual curiosity or awakening. before we're married. I don't know.
Oh, right.
But there's, you know, contractual obligations that sort of stunt identity formation. We're just going right in.
Yeah. Please.
And then, you know, with faith, of course, there are so many different sects and denominations, and I want to honor everyone's individual practice. Mm-hmm. I sort of had the, like, radical evangelical experience plus my own, we would call it spiritual asceticism, I think it is, where it's, like, very denial of self, minimal belongings, like...
Really?
And I think that was my reaction mm-hmm. to maybe the... like grandiosity of the industry. I was sort of like, oh no, I don't want to be a, you know, a celebrity who's narcissistic. So I'm going to, you know, diminish myself, make myself smaller, disappear, not take up any space at all. Mm. Like living for God's glory. But I was like super disconnected from my body.
Yeah.
So the queer journey is really when I, you know, noticed that I was attracted to someone and I felt everything for the first time and was like, oh no. This is bad.
Yeah.
And it went through the filter of, like, these are things that can't be trusted.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You are going to be eternally damned if you move forward with this. So I thought I was called to celibacy. I also thought I was asexual most of my life.
Wow.
Yeah, like, really extreme. And not to say, I mean, I have friends who are asexual. And for me, it was extreme. For them, it's their natural state of being.
Right.
But once I... Yeah, once I started noticing my attractions, that was like, I had to deconstruct an entire paradigm.
Right.
So.
I always think that I had a similar, I was in a religious household. And I think what's so interesting is like, you're so far from trusting your natural instincts.
Yes.
And like, you are very much conditioned to question in like the opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think sometimes being queerness... when you have to forge who you are in a like group or family or society that doesn't want you to explore your queerness, you have this like distrust after you come out of like other establishments. But before you get there, you have like a complete distrust of your own self.
Right.
Yeah. Which is like, I remember feeling attraction for my best friend and being like, oh, that's I know what that is. The devil.
Yeah.
And that takes so long to be like, wait, is it? What if it's not? And then it takes, I mean, like, yeah, people, a lot of times people are like, how do people come out so late in life? And it's like, oh, it takes a long time.
It takes a long time to find the key and then to even be willing. Sometimes you're like in the cage and you're like, I actually think this is the key that would work to get me out of here. But yeah, but I've made it so long. I might as well stay a little longer.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I really want to know about the celibacy thing. How old were you when you were like, I'm called to this?
So all throughout teenhood, I recognized that many young people were starting to experiment or have sex or, you know, try drugs, party. But I was already, one, in the spotlight, so mm-hmm. that wouldn't have been permitted without, like, a lot of criticism.
Yeah.
And two, you know, my family has its own kind of addiction and abuse-oriented state of being in the house. So I wasn't drawn to it as... like a pleasurable escape. It was mm-hmm. more like, that doesn't seem like that's helping anyone's life.
Yeah.
So I chose straight and narrow. Mm-hmm. Straight. But I would say probably all the way till 1920.
Wow.
And I, even when I recognized, like the reason I ended up, see, this is why I can't talk to queer people, because we're too open.
But
it's
isn't
too
it nice?
Safe.
Don't we have that
feels
effect?
So good. It's
nice.
Too respectful. Yeah. It's too safe.
It's warm.
To do this
it's cozy.
It feels like
microphone.
Getting in a bath. It feels like a nice warm bath.
That's what is so fun about being around other queer people. And we also are like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. I know. Okay. Fine. So I do remember that my choice to no longer be a virgin. First of all, of course, I thought I was like absolutely going to hell. But there was a part of me that I think came from a healthy developmental place that felt, quote unquote, behind. Not that there's any age that you have to have sex, but I recognized, like, there are so many parts of myself that I don't understand emotionally, physically, intimately. And I, you know, almost felt, like, guilty for being, quote unquote, behind, and then chose with, you know, someone who I did trust and... He was very caring, and it was like, you know, a a kind and gentle experience for what it is. But I also know, like, my reason was not,
yeah,
like, an honest kind of response to feeling strongly for someone. It was more like, uh-oh, I think I spent so long offline. Now, like...
You, like, want to catch up, almost.
Yeah, like, how does this work? And who can I talk to about this? And then you just feel so awkward compared to people who are, you know, speaking frivolously and, like, using language that you're like, oh, I can't say those words yet. Like,
ooh. I feel like my experience is very similar to this because in high school, I remember telling my dad I was going to be celibate until I was married.
Wow.
I was like, I'm not going to lose my virginity until my wedding night.
Yes. I was like, it felt like such a better option than letting them know that I was queer for a while. I was like, I think a lot of queerable. I said queerable.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Coin.
Queerable.
Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome.
when there's an, I know a lot of like, closeted queer people that were raised in Christianity or these like religious spaces, and they're like, a better option is leaning deep into virginity because there's this weird loophole of, well, I certainly don't want to have sex with men.
Exactly.
Certainly you're not going to see me having sex with a man. So if you want to give me a purity ring, if you want me to do all that stuff, that's way easier than exploring any sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure. But it sounds like for some of us, you were aware of your queerness and it was sort of a tactic or an angle for self-protection in some way. But then others, like, I was not aware that I was even queer.
I wasn't even aware. I was like, this is what I should be doing.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, don't.
Really?
Yeah. My dad was told, like, straight up told me, he was like, I promise you that that's not what you should be doing, is waiting until you're married. He was like, you need to go out and date people.
Shout out cool dad.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if that's what you want to do, I'm absolutely like, you should do it. But my dad was like, I promise, he's also been married 3 times. He was like, date around. Like, date people, find out who you are actually attracted to and who you are, you connect with on an emotional level.
Right.
Do you feel like you were losing your virginity because you were like, I should, like, did you feel like you had to prove something?
Yeah, I definitely, when you said that, I was like,
There's a should in there.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, it's time.
Right.
I'm in college. Right. Everyone's doing it.
Yes.
And it was to a boy. And I was like, this is not ideal.
It's so crazy. Yeah. I think about like how I was taught about sex too within the context of a religion. It was always like I literally would be having sex with women and being like, well, it doesn't count.
Oh.
That's crazy.
For too long.
Till last year.
No, like, and it's sad to look back. I mean, the discussion of like what is queer sex, all of that stuff. And also it always revolves, typically, when we're talking about gay sex, people only think it counts if there is a phallic person
and
involved. If there's like a dick involved, they're like, this is sex. Hmm. Everything else.
Right.
So for the longest time, I was like, okay, I don't really have to face this yet. Because I was like, not even like trying to, I don't know. The whole thing, when you add in trying to follow rules that don't even match the life that you're living, is very confusing, and it makes everything stunted. The queer time, I mean, we talk about it on the show all the time,
second
the
puberty
queer timeline.
It feels like a second puberty once you hit like mid-20s, early 30s.
I was just gonna say maybe a little later for some of us.
No, but for real, like,
you're like, I'm a teenager right now.
I'm like, yay,
you look great,
crushes.
The queer timeline is totally different, like all of it. And so you get to a point where, when did you get to the point where you're even recognizing, you're starting to recognize this queerness? Because for the longest time, you're like, you're avoiding everything, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even expressing
any type of sexuality,
any attraction to anyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when did that start to change?
Well, it still largely, you know, is experienced privately, because then I had to contend with the fact that my public persona is affiliated with family entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this, you know, I do teach children, and I'm, and again, like, sexuality is not sinful. Some of this is like residual, you know, being averse to human nature, but I still also try to be mindful of like, okay, just in case there's an 8-year-old watching, and at the same time, fully owning my development as a grown human who's ready to move into other phases of being. So, you know, it's probably mid-20s, and I had already, you know, had my first relationship, queer relationship, And then it happens to, I don't know if anyone can relate to this, but then, you know, sometimes you dial back the queer expression after the queer relationship and you're like, oh, okay, there's this masking capacity to only pursue straight presenting relationships again. And I didn't, it was honest. I mean, I'm pan, so yeah. I am attracted to people of all identities, embodiments. I mean, if you saw, you can't figure out the connecting point between anyone.
I love that.
Like, your track record's all over the
4'11
place.
4'11 to 6'7, where it's all the things.
Hell yeah.
Beautiful.
6'7 rocks. That's actually my exact height, which is so weird that you said that.
Fucking wish. It is 4'11,
please.
Dude.
Please. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where I was, but I think I was mid-20s. And then I had to figure out, like, well, who am I authentically? And how do I want to express? And there are so many more risks that come with expressing yourself in a queer way, at least at the time. Now I'm surrounded by a queer community, which I've never experienced until recently, and it makes a world of difference.
Yeah,
yeah, it does.
So many mullets.
Mm-hmm. So many mullets.
Like, it's incredible. So a many lot mullets. Of leg hair.
I a don't, lot of leg hair.
Yes. I don't feel hair safe everywhere. Unless there's like 2 to 3 mullets in a room.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shared piercings. Right,
I'll do it. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I have no piercings. Okay. I have
shared
no mullets.
Equality tattoos. Like, we're all out there.
But also, so you both identify as lesbian. Is that correct? Okay. Mm-hmm. And I wondered, like, do you have pan people on? Am I lesbian enough for this podcast?
We have all types of queer people on this podcast.
This podcast goes all over the
spectrum. We like all queer people, but it's also really fun to get, like, we're covering the lesbian point of view. I mean, Mackenzie and I are a little different too, like, in a lot of ways. We're also very similar. Sometimes I'm worried that we're the same being, but we love having on a ton of different types of people on so that our listeners can get more of a perspective from the other side.
Yeah, great. They get where we're coming from.
Yeah,
they're like, we hear it every week.
They're like, we get it.
Yeah, and you had Shannon on.
Yes.
Who directed my music video, Stripped
Shut
Bare.
Up.
And you could say, was sort of my foray into understanding lesbian culture.
Hot.
Really?
Because I shaved my head in the video and I deferred to her and the small creative team for like what to wear, because that's just never been my concern. And so she gave me the classic lesbian getup,
which
of
is
like, I think, yeah, sorry.
No, let's hear it. What was it?
I what think did
no, please.
Sometimes it includes like a roll up shirt.
It's always a rolled tee.
Some denim. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know if we still tuck or not.
Tucking
and then
is happening.
I don't know. Was it Converse?
This seems very gay.
Yeah, this is hot. I'm picturing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then later for the evening scene, there was a flannel.
Of course.
Incredible.
So,
a little on the nose.
It's nice to have like queer people help guide you. Like, I remember when I came out, I was like, I need to find a lesbian somewhere.
Steph.
And there was nowhere.
Get me a lesbian ASAP.
I remember even before I came out, like, I am chatting the one other, there was one queer person in our school. And I was like, hey
girl.
Psst, it's me from algebra. How's it out there? Like, you just need it. Like, you need people out there around you to, like, help with that stuff. Even, like, knowing that other people know what you're talking about can be so validating when you're surrounded by so many straight people.
I know. Yeah. I want to ask you, did you have anybody, not like a mentor, but somebody that was also in Disney at the same time as you that came out to you or helped you in any way? Or was it just like not spoken about there?
So I think to contextualize what our careers were like, Disney was one of 15 jobs I had.
Got it. Okay.
So I know to the naked eye, it seems like maybe we all congregate and like film
I thought it was
on
a
the
summer
same.
Camp.
Yeah.
I thought it was like you guys
it's
had
not
class
like
together.
High school in the way that sometimes we say it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and also we're often also busy with our own pathways that we don't really interact a lot. We kind of come together, colleagues, this is the scene we have. Great, good to see you. See you later.
Yeah.
I'm sure some people bonded if they were like series regulars, but I was always recurring, kind of in and out on shows. And yeah, I don't recall having any conversations with anyone on Disney about being queer.
Yeah.
And
because it's like so many of them, so many child actors come out later in life.
Yeah, yeah.
That I like wonder, you know, if you guys are coming up together and working on very similar yeah. projects, if you would talk about it.
Maybe others did. Yeah. But I was so nervous about my own experience. Mm-hmm. I think I probably kept everything inside. Yeah. Well, except for everyone else knowing that I was queer.
Yeah, everyone else was like, we got you. Did you get clocked a lot?
Well, not to my face. I wish I did. Yeah. Because I could have learned sooner. But, you know, people look at the Sarah Baker character in Cheaper by the Dozen mm-hmm. or other, I don't know, athletic characters that wear basketball shorts. And they're like, we knew you were queer.
Were you getting cast a lot as like tomboy?
Yes. But I also, I'm from Toledo, Ohio, where mm-hmm. a lot of straight women and girls play sports.
Yeah.
Like,
it's normal.
Yeah.
It's, that's Midwest, baby.
That's yeah. Midwest. And we do wear whatever the, you know, oversized jackets or whatever. And it's totally. Not like because we're queer.
Yeah.
So I don't think I associated automatically like sports with sexuality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, because you were also a child.
I was a like, baby.
You're not right. even thinking about this kind of stuff.
Right.
Like, I was deep. Like, I don't think I came out until I was 20. So I wasn't even aware of when I'm in high school mm-hmm. that this is a thing.
Right.
You know, oh, so wow. I'm just like.
Same.
Yeah. I was just
I
like
think
going
I was 20 or older. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Oh,
so
I was deeply aware.
Yeah.
And when you're it's a very particular experience when you know and you are actively trying to not let other people know. Because then for me, it really came out double in other ways.
Yeah.
Like I was in an active relationship that was hidden. Mm. And I was like. Still playing trumpet, okay. Still giving too many back massages during like lunch break.
It does you know come I mean? Out in the weirdest ways where it's like, yeah. I'm trying to hide it over here, but then it's almost like you're like a pipe is exploding
yes.
on this side.
It comes
and you're
out.
Like, wait, stop.
The way I desperately wore a cowboy hat every single day to school, yeah. like I was just like, I was so deeply queer.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. But then anytime anyone would ask, like, because people would ask me sometimes because they were like, hey, what's happening here? And when it would come up and you knew, like, that was, you're like, oh, it shatters everything. Because you're like, yeah. I thought I was passing mm-hmm. so hard.
Oh.
And then people would say to me, people would ask me, they're like, do you remember when straight people, first of all, are atrocious and need to be arrested.
Yeah.
But people would come up to my face and do this to me in high school. And I was like, I thought I got them all fooled. Oh. I was like, I'm wearing my I'm wearing my crucifix. I've got WWJDs on. I'm like, how do they know?
Remember,
as I'm wearing those Bermuda shorts. Do you know the ones?
It's always the three-quarter shorts.
You know the ones?
Bermuda shorts.
Yes, you know.
I know the Old Navy campaign. Yeah. They sang about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, Old Navy really actually, they're,
that's
there is
lesbians.
A queer pipeline.
Oh, there
yeah.
is.
That is
yeah.
absolutely a queer pipeline.
Thanks, Old Navy.
Thank you.
Sponsored by?
If your shorts hit your knee, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's yeah. We're there. Holy shit. Wow.
So when did you first know?
Wait.
I don't even want to ask
I mean, try it, I guess.
I want to know about, you were describing your first queer relationship.
Yes, so, but we're going to skip on
okay.
the
talking
first
about
one?
That anymore. Yeah, but
got
I can
it.
Talk about others.
Can I ask then? Well, this is the one. I'll tell you what the question is, and you can tell me if you want to talk about it or not.
Oh.
Fun.
What was, and it doesn't have to be the first queer date, but what was your first queer dating experience that you remember where you were actively flirting?
Oh.
And how was it? Like, how do you date?
Yeah, what is it like to date you?
Well.
I love how nervous you're getting.
You will probably not know.
You're on a date with
that you. I'm interested in you for a while.
That's like me.
Because I want to understand the map of you mm-hmm. a bit more.
Mm.
We all have our reasons for being guarded. I have a laundry list.
Mm-hmm.
And I also lean avoidant. And so I'm independent by nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to understand, like, what are the expectations? What's the capacity?
Mm-hmm.
Also, we have to talk about relationship structures.
Are you doing this night one?
No.
No, you're a slow burn, it sounds like. It sounds like it would
I'm
take a while.
I'm a real slow burn. Because there's also the element here where, like, you go through the phase, maybe it's not a phase, where you meet people and they feel exciting and you feel the butterflies,
yeah.
but you're like, oh, that's
those are the trauma responses. Yes, yes. And I've learned now to not
get excited
act.
Over that.
Yeah. And then you have the really slow burn where it's so slow, you're like, I don't think this is worth mm-hmm. leaning into further. And then the person I'm seeing right now, I would say, is like this really beautiful middle path
yeah.
where the co-regulation is next level,
wow.
like soothe the nervous system, but also have this really provocative, enriching, energetic connection, intellectual connection. So I think I usually am studying people for a while mm-hmm. before I would even initiate any kind of flirtation. And the flirtation likely for me would be humor
mm-hmm.
and yeah, and I'm not an overt flirt.
Wow.
And if someone did that with me, which has never happened, like, I don't get flirted with.
Yes.
You don't get flirted
That's
with.
What
no,
I,
no, no.
When you were describing your approach to dating and flirting and connecting or whatever, mm-hmm. I was like, does that make people chase after you?
Yeah.
Like, the codependent like... type.
Sure, but I smell that. Oh. From a mile away.
Good for
That's
you.
So cool and hot.
It only took 7 yeah, tries.
I know, they sound
so
like you,
real,
Ken.
Though.
Like,
I was
the
like,
boundary.
Yes, I'm because I'm yeah. also so boundaried.
Mm.
But I do think that, like, and also, no, I never had people flirt with me either.
Yeah.
And it would just never happen.
Right.
But I always was like, God, that would be so nice. It'd be so lovely if somebody would
to
come
feel
up to me and
desirable,
feel
desirable.
Yeah.
Like, overtly. Yes. I don't know
but
what that's
happened.
Like. But my closest friends were always the, like, blonde bombshell or this, like, really just lovable, extroverted personality. And, yeah. you know, I'd just be, like, flanking them going, okay, great. Yeah. No, I'll hold the
I'll
door.
Be right here.
Yeah.
Like,
that's I'll hold your purse.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And you also don't do dating apps. So you're meeting these people IRL and
yes.
kind of sussing them out.
Yeah. I think that's, I guess, my style is, like, if we're in proximity to each other on a project mm-hmm. or we're going to the same lectures on some niche topic, like, and
oh,
I see
hot.
You.
That's
literally hot. Saying
Both
lecture on a niche topic. I'm like,
you're just going to lectures?
So cool.
Okay, I'll give you a list.
Give me a list!
Yeah.
Ooh.
This is incredible.
Can Wait. I tell you what
Yeah.
this person and I just did for Valentine's Day preemptively?
Please, yes.
We went to a queer instructed, and they need all the credit here. Mm-hmm. They found the graphic queer instructed ASL class, and we learned how to sign all of these really loving phrases.
This is right up your alley.
I majored in ASL studies.
We're on our way. We're in a free
we're
course.
We're on our way. ASL That's is like the one of the best things that I've.
Yes. It
that,
feels
that community
like,
fucking rocks.
Yes. And it feels like baseline. It's been
yeah.
on my list. I just continually choose work first and yeah. need to reprioritize where my energy goes. But yes.
That's so fucking
that is
ASL
cool.
is
a beautiful date. That is such
right?
a effing
so
good
fun.
Date idea.
I want to
yeah.
see those hands
wow.
work.
And it's.
And
it's
kind of
so queer.
Yeah, deeply queer.
In so many ways.
Yeah. Yes, the yeah. whole thing. That's so awesome.
And we're learning about, like, deaf culture and yeah. history, and it has an intersectional lens. Like, could not get queerer.
Oh, my God, that's beautiful.
Can't get better than that.
That fucking rocks.
I think I have to switch up my date idea for
no,
Valentine's.
Ooh.
You have to.
I pride myself on, like, good dates.
Mm.
And I feel like I have been also prioritizing work recently more. And mm. I'm like, that's such a good idea,
mm-hmm.
is to get out of your comfort zone and do something that's also, like, so queer. What is that? Is
yes.
it yes?
Yes.
Is it the thumb
yes.
behind,
yep.
thumb in front?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
I
yeah, that's fucking
hands,
hot.
Though.
Yeah.
This is sweet?
Sweet, yeah.
Do you know any dirty ones that you could do right now?
Rose?
Sure. What
do
you want
flower?
That's dirty?
Give me a dirty one.
On the around the nose, yeah.
What is that?
That's flower. I'm trying to, what do you, like,
Could we say something like,
give us
is
a raunchy
there a,
one.
Is Will, like.
Will. Yep. Will you.
You make love.
Make love.
Oh.
So that's love. I think I've seen
this
you
This is
do
make love.
With.
To make love. With, yeah.
Me
yeah yeah
so,
that's
not,
good
not to your fiance
Sorry.
No, that's good. Yeah, you look out. So, no, ASL, but... I mean, ASL rocks in general. And the school that I went to weirdly has a very strong ASL program. So all of the teachers are deaf and most of those teachers are queer. Mm. And most of the people in the classes that I was dating everyone. I dated a deaf woman for a long time. And also like,
did when you say I dated everyone?
I dated everyone in the class.
Did you really?
No.
Jesus.
Not everyone, but like the girls.
Freya!
Okay, but the thing about the deaf community, when you get like more into it, the overlap of queer people in the deaf community.
The Venn diagram and, like, is not even a diagram.
Also it interpreters. Interpreters too. Like people that are drawn to ASL, there's a huge overlap between the queer community and like people who are just like really into ASL.
Yeah.
As well as the deaf community. And it is something that like, I don't think people are talking about it enough. There's like a ton of, it's a fucking rocks.
This pod.
It fucking rocks. Okay. That's a really cool date. How long have you been with your partner now?
Whoa, partner's a strong word choice.
Oh, are you still feeling it out?
We haven't decided on a term per se, but I imagine it will continue to evolve in that direction. And
that's so sweet.
It's been several months, a very slow burn though, because they knew when we met, I was really clear about this particular season. I have like 5 or 6 overlapping life's work projects, including like trying to get legislation passed to protect kids and making a toolkit to protect child performers and entertainment. And it's sort of this like, it's everything's boiling to a head and I want to be present for it.
You have to be.
And so it's added this really interesting, beautiful layer of like, oh, there's a desire to spend time, but we have to miss each other. And when we see each other, it's hyper present, but also like acknowledging that we can't indulge the way that other queer meetups sometimes are. You're just like, oh,
8 hours long.
Yeah. I mean, I think we sat after the ASL class. I think we were in their car for 5 hours.
That's what I'm talking about.
Just staring at each other in Arizona.
Looking at each other.
Yeah.
Just soaking up.
Truly. Yeah.
No, that's like.
This is beautiful.
The best.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
I think it's healthy.
It's very healthy.
Which is such a win for both of us.
Is this new for you?
I would say, I mean, I've had several healthy and life-giving, growthful relationships where you're not leaving like with new scars or new wounds. But I think this is the first time, especially from a gender perspective, where I feel so understood. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're also non-binary, and there's something about just being able to see the fullness of someone. Mm-hmm. And the other day, I'm really just... it's going to be a love letter to them here.
That's so cute.
But, you know, they said, like, in that moment, however they were experiencing me, they just said, you feel really, like, actually genderless.
Wow.
And that's not, like, something I'm striving for. Mm-hmm. But I've never heard someone comment about me in that way.
Yeah.
And I did feel just quite expansive.
Nice? Yeah.
And, you know, sort of dissolving of labels and just fully human. And I, you know, started tearing up because I thought, like, I didn't know you could receive feedback like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or that someone would take the time to see you in the way that you experience yourself, not in the way that you appear or the world has known you. So I think that's interesting too. We both are highly perceptive. A lot of that's from being kind of like overly hypervigilant from not so great scenarios in our childhood, but it's become this beautiful way of deeply seeing each other. Wow. And like, I think that from a sexuality standpoint, like, yes, I'm pan, but like, come on, it's like intellectual, emotional, it's everything.
Yeah.
So
that's so beautiful.
That's literally
beautiful. Like, I'm getting chills.
I'm obsessed.
Honestly, getting chills, but to be perceived as like something that I think we think about a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think within the context of like I think as we get older too, like having queer relationships is something that I used to be like, I had a phase of like toxicness, or I felt a little bit tossed around by straight people for a long time in my like college years. And so a lot of my experiences in relationships were, I was gay and they were not. Yeah. And that kind of dynamic went over and over and over again. And I remember getting older in my queerness and then dating queer people that were already queer before I met them. And that's not to say that, like, everyone can come to it whenever they want. It's not a critique of when you find your queerness.
Right.
But for me, being within queer relationships changed my whole experience of myself and the relationships that you're having.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was, like, starting to realize that there are queer relationships when both people are experiencing this thing is, like, it was life-changing for me. Mm-hmm. And it's very beautiful to hear you talk about. You're, like, you, like, light up.
Yeah.
Fucking... Which I love
is
love.
New. Yeah, it's that is new. That feeling of being comfortable enough to even let you see that I feel joyful about this. Because I think before, when you're first experiencing something positive after maybe a long bout of not experiencing that, then you're kind of like, uh-oh, is this going to be taken away?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to, you know, downplay it.
You have your guard up.
Yeah. And now I think I've had, and I can credit this to the beauty of previous connections too, that, like, we've been slowly helping each other heal, and it feels like I'm in the most grounded, you know, version of myself so far. I think that's also the 30s. Something happens and you're like, thank God my personality is not, like, switching up every single day, for me to be able to actually land and say. And a huge thing for me too is structures of relationships, like, and people's level of self-awareness within what they choose for that structure. Like, if you're monogamous or you're poly, no matter what, you're going to need a lot of self-awareness and a lot of communication skills. And when I listened to how they spoke about their previous connections, and when I witnessed how people treat them and see them and talk about them, I was like, this person, like, screams integrity. Like, you know?
That's so beautiful.
And that can, like, help, you know, microwave the trust-building process, because you're like, oh, who you say you are is, I think, actually who you are.
Yeah.
Because I would move at a snail pace otherwise. So I feel like they both understand snail behavior, but also, like, are demonstrating all of the things that I would need to go, okay, I think I can, like, I think we can do this dance for as long as we want.
Wow. Yeah.
That self-awareness doesn't happen often.
No. And even you're describing too, like, having that because you're busy, but also, like, intentionally not chugging each other all the time.
Yeah.
Intentionally, like, I mean, how many times have we gone on or heard about people that go on dates that are 6, 7, 8 hours long?
Love bombing,
and
too.
Truly.
Right, right.
Like,
right.
Getting where you're in these positions where I remember the first date I had with now my fiance. Shout out, Rania. But, like, I remember leaving it being like, did I do that wrong? Because I was not used to somebody not being so obsessed with me. And I was like, oh, right. Like, you can actually get to know somebody. You can take your time getting to know somebody.
Get to know somebody.
Who
you
got to
peel back those
Nobody
layers.
Nobody told me. But I was also an alcoholic. It took a long time. But incredible
and
stuff.
And that dopamine hit.
I mean.
Yeah.
You're like, this. I can do this.
Yeah.
That's so
fucking wild.
I want to talk about this legislation that you're trying to get passed. Yeah. Tell us everything. We're going to have to cut you guys off there because we have so much more of our interview with Allison that we had to break it up into two parts.
That's my favorite fucking, you know, when you have your friend over and you're just like, you're just having a kiki and you're like, oh my God, should I put on a pot of coffee?
We could have chatted with them for literally like 5 hours.
No, I know.
That's the thing. I was like, I immediately am obsessed with them.
Me too. I'm really obsessed with them. And the second part, we get into the nitty gritty and we also have them answer, I think it's an Ask a Dyke.
There are, yes. So we're, I don't, I'm not trying to actually tease you, but this episode is so fucking good. Next week, we have part two coming. So sign up to Spotify or Patreon. That episode is going to be private. But trust me, you're going to want to watch.
You're going to want to watch it for sure. I'm like, I have so much fun here.
I know.
I really like when we get to have people that are so different than us.
You mean smart.
When I say different from us, I do 100% mean smart.
Smart and talented.
Yeah.
I did feel like I felt like I was in the presence of somebody who was so important.
It's
you
how,
know what I mean? Of
100%.
Like, where I was felt like, oh, okay.
I felt like I was the assistant to Bette Porter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like we were watching Bette on the trail.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
Do you think we should somehow get them on the ballot?
It needs to be done.
Anyways,
part two coming next week.
Part two's coming next week. Thank you guys. If you have any Ask a Dykes, you know what to do. Shove them up your ass. See us on tour.
Go to twodykesandamike.com to get tickets today. And if you have any Ask a Dykes, don't
shove them up your ass.
No, stop.
And I mean that in a sensual, loving way.
You're gonna
shove them up my ass.
You're gonna send them to twodykesandamike@gmail.com. I'm sorry for my coworker. I love you guys so much. I'm Mackenzie Goodwin.
I'm Rachel Scanlon, and I'd like to end with a song.
Don't
go do something gay today. And